Listen and stream the all-new talk radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
Joining us on the program now is a gentleman. He's been here before. He's president of the Sales Farmers Support Group. Let's say welcome to our program once again. That is a business, former businessman, Bindra Maharaj. Good morning to you. Welcome to our program.
Good morning. Good morning. Very good morning to all your listeners too, and to Trinidad and Tobago.
Nice to have you with us here this morning. We've spoken to you before on several issues, and this morning we are going to be speaking about something that affects farmers in a very real way. It's prairie larceny. Prairie larceny is a matter that, quite frankly, strikes at the heart of farmers being able to carry out their trade. Apart from prairie larceny, we've been seeing some other things where the prairie larceny has taken on a different form, and that they ain't just going and taking the people's crops now. They're going in, taking people's crops, taking their vehicles, and injuring the farmers in the fields. And that's cause for concern. There was a meeting recently. Let's begin by telling us about that meeting. I think the Minister of National Security and the Police Commissioner were there. Tell us a bit about that and some of the discussions.
Okay, on Friday last, the Confederation of Chambers of Commerce, all in Trinidad, had this meeting together with UWE. Now, at this meeting, the Commissioner of Police is there and the Minister of National Security, together with the other leaders of the Chambers and together with Dr. Roger Hussein and Dr. Sipasad. Now, basically, at this meeting, the discussion of crime came up. The discussion of crime came up not only in the sense of what is happening, you know, how the crime is measured in Trinidad and Tobago as homicide, the homicide rate. So basically what was the essence of the meeting was the way forward, the discussion on crime. So we had to make a contribution in terms of what our farmers are facing right now. Now, we all know the problem, and this is where the discussion went. The discussion went regarding farmers and prairie larceny. Now, we know worldwide prairie larceny is something that we have to deal with. It is not something we can give up or get out of the way just like that. So we in Trinidad now, if we have to talk about food security, we need to talk about what is going to happen with farmers and prairie larceny. Not only in the crop section, but also the animal husbandry situation. Because, I mean, you know, sometimes you hear about people stealing people's animals, or around Christmas time, they go and they just cut out, chop a cow up, leave parts there, and take it and go with it. Now, that was the essence of what the meeting was about, the symposium.
We've spoken before. The last time you were here, we spoke on the issue of the prairie larceny squad, and
yes.
And at that point in time, there were calls for the squad to be shut down. There were you were of the opinion that's the wrong approach. That the squad needed to be strengthened. At this meeting, the Minister of National Security and the Police Commissioner and others, did they outline any plans to deal with this thing? What did they say was the approach they were going to adopt?
Actually, no. There was no definite word on what is happening. But prairie larceny doesn't come under the TPS. It comes under the Ministry of Agriculture. But what I can say is that the TTPS and the prairie larceny, there's no link. There's really no link with each other. But we know the issues with the prairie larceny squad, whereby it is now being, they're now trying to revamp it. It is very minuscule right now. They have no vehicles, manpower. Most of the good people who were in that squad have left because, you know, it was just left abandoned. For what reasons, we don't know. But in terms of the squad right now, right, what we are saying is that, yes, we understand that the Ministry of Agriculture is, as a matter of fact, trying to revamp this squad. But to me, I find it sticking too long because farmers are suffering in the meantime. There is no stopgap measure put in place. For instance, one of the solutions would have been the very meager manpower they have right now. Why can't we use that, right, to have a link with the TTPS in the meantime, to especially in the farming areas that, you know, like in the Felicity area, in Maruga, places that are heavily dependent on farming. Why can't we use the police station and a one or two members of the Prison License Squad to work together with the TTPS, whether we can use the same vehicles or the same manpower, you know what I mean? And you know, while you're patrolling not only for house breakings, but you're patrolling also for, you know, the farmers, looking at the farmers and so. So I am saying there should be a link with the TTPS and the Prison License Squad in the interim right away. That's one of the suggestions that we had.
What are some of the other suggestions?
Okay, some of the other suggestions would be like this. We made a suggestion to the minister, right, whereby I think it is about time that the Prison License Act should be revisited. And that means we need to look at the act carefully. We need to revamp that act and say, look, it is time that this $10,000 that, you know, if your court ceiling is just a blind, you pay $10,000. We want stiffer jail terms. We want stiffer fines. We want stiffer penalties in the act to say, look, first time offenders, you know, you have this situation to deal with. The act says $10,000. But what about in San Chiquito last week, where farmers caught some three guys who were actually stealing their crops? They caught them. These guys were on camera, and they admitted on camera this is the fifth time they came there to steal. So these are repeat offenders, and they admitted to that. What happens to these guys who have been stealing these crops for the fifth time? And this is where the problem is going to be. This was the first time they were caught after five times. Now, what happens now when a farmer takes it a little bit too far? You know what can happen? And I have a problem with that, because I don't want to have to go and look at, you know, finding a lawyer to go and help a farmer because something happened and they damaged people. And that is where the problem is going to be, because the policeman must know who's a farmer in the area, in the district, and who is not. And where I'm saying to you, you know, they must say, let me see your farmer's badge. If your name is Jerome, and we know Jerome owns this farm here or this garden, you are not Jerome. Let me see your farmer's badge. You must have a farmer's badge to at least tell me why you have this product or this produce in this vehicle. So we have to find out, you know, these are some of the strategies we were talking about.
Mm. Well, it sounds good. And it definitely sounds like the direction we should be heading into, but that is not what exists. We have numerous people who call this program. We had a gentleman recently who had an incident, an instance where they stole seven of his cows. The man actually find one, take the police and show them the cow in somebody's place.
Yeah.
And the police, they didn't do anything about it. And now a cow is not a cheap thing. Those things go up to $10,000 and more for one. And think about the loss that he had. And he was saying that it's not just about the cow, it's about the breed and the genetics and a whole set of different things that was the investment.
Yeah.
But that level of engagement that you're talking about with the police service is definitely absent for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But whose responsibility is it to engender that kind of engagement with the police in a situation where the Prayer Larceny Squad is woefully either incompetent or inadequate in the situation?
Yeah. Well, the responsibility, actually, as I said, there's no link with the TTPS and the Prayer Larceny Squad. And that is where the problem is, because the Prayer Larceny Squad falls under the Ministry of Agriculture, and the, well, of course, the TTPS falls under the Minister of National Security.
Mm.
But one of the other issues is this, right? You know, if we have farmers having to invest into fencing their places, now to fence 5 acres or even 2 acres is a lot of money, right? While the Ministry of Agriculture is giving a grant for that, or a grant for cameras, so whether it's, you know, solar cameras, cameras that operate on Wi-Fi, I don't know how much of that can solve the problem, because people, you know, like in, I know a farmer who has applied for his grant, right, for fencing, and this is very, very interesting. Eh? This farmer supplied all his documents, because our group, we assisting our members to get these grants and get the farmers' badges and so. And at the last time in the program, I mentioned this, and somebody said that there was no one-year farmer's badge, and I proved that wrong. And what has happened is this. There is a five-man team in the Ministry of Agriculture who are supposed to be vetting these grants, the application for the grants. Do you know an RPO deed was given on this particular farmer, and they came back and said that the man does not have land tenure? This is an RPO and a real properties ordinance. The man owns the property. And the team came back and said that he did not have land tenure. The difficulty of obtaining these grants is a major, major factor. We don't know why the farmers are not getting the grants as they are supposed to get them.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to highlight this issue. And this issue is so we intervened. And we were told, okay, well, we didn't see that. It's five of them looked at it and they didn't see this. I said, okay, well, what's the next step for the farmer? It's okay. This is about 3 weeks ago. The farmer, somebody will contact earlier from the team. Up to now, nobody has called us to talk about this with the farmer. You understand? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, it is not a two-way street with the farmers. It is not. You don't have a link with the TTPS. You don't have the period last week. It has now been revamped. You can't get a grant as fast as enough to help, you know, secure your property for food security. And what is also giving us, a major problem with farmers is the fact that when you, as a farmer, have to leave your home or your garden and get to the market at 3 o'clock in the morning, because Makoya opens at 3, right? You have to get there by 12 to find a place in the line. And while there was holdups going up at Makoya, we now got the Makoya market now has some police security outside. They have security and they have an internal car park, which is good, as helped. But when the farmers sell their goods between 3 and 6 in the morning, or 5 in the morning, and they're going back home, bandits are targeting these farmers with money on them, and they're going after them on the roads. If they don't get them on the road, they follow them to their homes, and this is why you are getting the home invasions now.
Mm. So are we looking at a situation? I know in times gone by, when you had a portion of land or whatever else, you would have been entitled, or getting a firearm would have been easier. Is that something that we need to consider now for the nation's farmers, arming the nation's farmers?
Whether that happens or not, right? I want to be honest with you. I don't think personally that is going to be a deterrent. It could be a semi-deterrent, right? A firearm for a farmer is a shotgun, because, you know, it's for killing, you know, wild animals, bees, snakes, whatever have you, right? It is not to defend life and limb, really. and the kind of weapons that the bandits have now, you know, to me, that is not really going to help. What is going to help, right, is a presence outside there, which will make sure that the bandits are either deterred from doing what they want to do or caught in the act.
Well, but if
that is what is going to happen.
But if you're suggesting that the crimes have moved from outside the gathering point at the markets, and the crime has now moved to bandits following farmers on the road and to their homes, police can't be everywhere. It's unthinkable. It's unthinkable to think that the police will be able to ensure that every single farmer gets home safe. Have you asked this question to your membership if they would consider arming themselves? Because it's nice for us to sit and think about policy decisions, but what do the farmers want? If I were a farmer, and I've been real honest with you, I have made it abundantly clear, I am a supporter of persons being given legal firearms once they qualify. I support that 100%, because I believe the only deterrent you have to a bandit with a gun is a gun to defend yourself. And I would like to hear from farmers. What do they think? Do they think they should be given the opportunity to defend themselves against these miscreants who ain't care to make an honest day's work, but targeting people who working real hard? And you know what's the sad thing? The sad thing is when they come, they ain't just taking your money, you know. They're brutalizing you and your family, and they're taking everything else you have in your house, and they're going with it. So
correct.
Farmers need to start fighting back. But what does a fight back look like? Because we have a whole big discussion in this country about whether or not we should give people firearms and legal firearms and all that kind of nonsense, when I think it should be the exact opposite. But what's have you spoken to your membership about it?
Oh, no, the membership is very clear. They are very clear. They want firearms. They definitely want it. I'm not saying that is not, I don't want that. I'm saying that it works hand in hand with other situations.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
I'm saying it is time. I agree. Three months ago, a farmer in Valencia was shot and killed in his vehicle. Right? Why? Because he sold some produce, and somebody in this, whether it's around him or whatever, knew he had the money in him, shot him, killed him in his vehicle, and left him there. Right? How does one, you know, as a farmer, there must be a level of other situations. The farmers need to be educated also. This is my point. My point is one, if you are going to sell something in your farm, right, can't you make another arrangement to collect your money? You have your produce. Let us meet so-and-so place or something like that, whether it's in the bank or whatever the case is. Two, don't you think that NAMDEVCO ought to have some sort of a system in the market where people can deposit money, where there's an ATM that can deposit money? These are the things I'm talking about. I am talking about making sure that we have the other extenuating circumstances to working together with the firearms. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying let us take it out of the picture altogether. I am saying there are other deterrents that we must put in place to have this done.
Well, you're talking about a cashless transaction one way or
correct.
The other. But the practicality of a cashless transaction in a market setting, I don't think it's impossible. But is it what farmers, because, you know, sometimes you're doing things a certain way for many, many years, and there are people who are skeptical about the banking system and so on. Let's take a couple of calls, because I think we have some people trying to get involved in the discussion. Hello, good morning.
Morning, Gladys. I'm very good. Clearly,
morning.
Morning, yes. Clearly, the answer to this is proper policing. And in the absence of proper policing, the farmer should be granted license. They must be trained first, of course, and how to operate a firearm And I want to tell the guest who is, I sense that he's reluctant to give firearms to farmers, that in the United States, studies have shown where guns were issued to the public, crime went down. And people use the small amount of statistics where legal guns were taken away from the rightful owner and used to commit crime as an argument to not give people firearms. And that, to me, that is a ridiculous argument because the percentage is so small, right? But I have some land that I want to plant. And when I hear these stories, I want to go take the risk. I have a friend who planted some cassava. And when he went to reap his cassava, the thieves and them stole the cassava and planted back the tree. And they did it in a systemic manner. They didn't take all one time. They take it piece by piece. And he stopped planting after that because he can't do all that work to, you know, for all this risk. It doesn't make sense. And I think that people will wake up in this country, because when they go to the market and they don't have any food to eat, or you're paying $10 for one pepper, you know, the government is going to have to take action. But this government waits for things to reach critical stage, then to do something about it. Right? And the police, to me, is the first solution to this, to provide farmers with security. And I don't know what is the keypad. Just like the fire service, the government wants things to reach critical stages for them to do something. And I urge your organization to go in front of the Prime Minister's office or go in front of Mr. National Security's office with the farmers and protest. Because this is the only way you're going to get something, you know, when they are embarrassed in the national public. Can't tell it.
May I just interject a bit?
Yes, sure.
May
go ahead.
I just want to make it very clear. I never said I'm, reluctant for farmers to get firearms. I said we need that firearms, plus other extenuating circumstances. Plus, also, I want to tell this caller, right? I want to make it very, very clear. You said you have some land that you don't want to plant because of these stories. I am saying that it's time for you to plant. And if it is time for us to protest, don't say us, you take your organization and go and protest. It is about time that we as a people, you included, join us in the protest. That is what I'm saying.
Let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Salutation to the Mr. there. You know, me from Aranjuez, right? They call Aranjuez the food basket of the nation. And many years ago with my grandmother and grandfather, we never had a problem. People come in to rob you. Whatever we plant, we share for the community. Right? But this government is a government always sideline the farmers and them because of our ethnic background. And it has to do with something with race. Sorry to put it that way. But I believe that is the main objective there. As because the most set of farmers is Indian people. And the government, the African government, never see it fit. It's only because now it becomes so because we have a food crisis in the world. And we've seen that where it is important now for farmers. But they never do nothing. This is why we reach in this crisis. My grandmother and them had to sell off the land and they build houses and then they, because why? It become very difficult now because long ago our grandparents could have handled it. Now the grandchildren and them, they don't want to do that. So it become very difficult for the community when you see it come because they find it's too much of hard work. But it always had a problem with the government giving what is right for the farmers and them and all them rural areas. Fixing the road was important. Now we have a serious problem with bandits. Now we never had that. You see? So it's a lot of challenges that farmers face right now. And it's not only guns could help that. We don't have honest people on the other side. And then government, government, this government, well, this is the worst out of all government, because this prime minister, he's not doing anything for farmers, believe it or not. Thank you.
I'll be honest with you. I in our group, we have a lot of farmers who are non-Indo-Trinidadians. And while that might be a point for that area, because Aranjuez is more Indo-Trinidadians, I am saying that farming, because of what has taken place with COVID, farming in this country has changed, because everybody, Satish, everybody is planting something now. And what is interesting is that if you look at a lot of the houses that you see around the area, there's also now a little garden, a little shed that people are selling their extra produce to the public. Out of these little garden sheds that you're seeing now in front of people's homes, it is because of extra planting they are planting. Mm. And again, as I'm saying, firearms, yes, policing, yes, criminal arson, yes, and also, right, we need to educate the farmers about how they must take care of their personal private money, what they must do. And we as a group, and I'm going to make it very clear, as a group, we do not get any assistance from anybody. We do everything ourselves. Everything is funded from our own initiative. Our farmers market every Saturday, whatever we get in from there is what goes back into the farming community. Everything that we do it ourselves. We get no assistance from anybody, because if we go to wait, our members will suffer.
Let's take another call. Have a good morning.
Morning, Satish, and your guests there and our listeners. From time immemorial, this thing existed. Pretty last to me. And Satish, you made the point. When they go to steal, right? They don't only steal it out. They violate the owners, the family violate them. Right? And I know this group, they have the solutions. But you need more policemen on the field with them. The police forces are undermanned. And the PNM view is, and as a view with somebody, that they view agriculture as a private matter for private people, not the government. Mr. Arena, you said so. They get assistance, financial assistance, infrastructure assistance, and marketing assistance. That's all. But the government views this agriculture as a private sector thing for people to get involved in it. But my point I'm making is get policemen to assist these farmers. And they're not doing it. The police forces undermanned, generally speaking, underperforming. They're really trying their best. But because of lack of people, they're fighting the thing. And then you have your rogue elements in the service, as everywhere else. But this has to come to an end. They produce food for which they eat, you know. And we have to protect our farmers. They should begin to earn free votes. As a person, the farming community, they provide food for the population. So please protect them. I also, before you have your formulas and so on, but I'm calling upon the government to deploy some more policemen to protect the people who plant food for which they eat. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for your call. Let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Hi, morning, Satish.
Good morning.
So, Satish, this morning I heard a caller from Central saying why Kamala didn't outfit the fire station with the necessary equipment and so on.
Councilor, you're going to have to call us back. We put on that topic until a little while. We're dealing with something specific here. We have a guest in the studio talking about Pradya Larceny. So the fire truck and Kamala Prasad Bisesa, and then you're going to call back in a little while and we could deal with that one. The previous caller, and the one just before the last, spoke about exactly what we've been talking about. Putting more measures in place to protect farmers so that the nation's food supply is uninterrupted. I don't think we consider the implications of Pradya Larceny and the chain of supply. Are there farmers who have decided to throw in the towel and have given up because of this? And is that something we need to be fearful of, more farmers adopting that approach?
Most definitely. Most definitely. Look, you just heard a little while ago, one of your callers said he has some land, and when he heard these stories, he doesn't want to plant. And you heard about another one called and said he one of his friends planted cassava. And, you know, the same thing happened in my garden. They went, steal the cassava and stick the cassava tree back in, thinking, and I'm thinking that it's time to reap the cassava. When you went now, you pull the cassava, the whole tree comes out with no cassava because it's gone. One of the things that we are having is farmers really, really are fed up with the situation, and they are down in tools. It is no two ways about it. A lot of farmers in Kearney are no longer planting, not only because of the pre-last needs, but because of infrastructure problems. A lot of farmers who can produce, there's a farmer in Kearney who produces kale. She sells 2 half-pound bundles of kale for $10, which is a fantastic price, right? And of course, that's available at the farmer's market on Saturday. She's one of our members. And she has to plant only the dry season, because we have been trying to get the engineering department of the Ministry of Agriculture to clear a drain, a water course in front of her for over a year, 1 year.
You know,
When I speak to the minister and the assistants and the people inside of there, the engineering department always have issues. They have issues. They're not doing their job. And I want to say it very clear. The engineering department need to get off their tails and get the work done. Farmers need the help, right? And we need to get it done. I am saying, you know, one of the things that we have to hold on to, and I'm awaiting patiently, is at the symposium on Friday, the Commissioner of Police made it very clear. She said, after I made my contribution, she said, could you remain after the session is done? I need to get your particulars. And she did. She held on to her word. We met, we spoke, she took my particulars, and I'm hoping that she would call, or her people would call, and we would set up a meeting to go and carry on this conversation, to continue this conversation. Because, Satish, you know what we are doing now? As a group, a voluntary group, we are now talking to suppliers, right, for something called a fencing called anti-cut, anti-climb. This is a new type of material that farmers can use that will assist and prevent some of the pilferage. Now, let's be realistic, right? While the ministry is and the government giving you tax allowances for, you know, cameras and all of these things, and you're trying to get the ministry, you as a farmer, you're trying, and our group trying to assist farmers, our members, to get these grants, which is like pulling teeth. Right, you have to understand that the farming community in this country is operating at zero level tolerance now. You're trying to produce, you're getting tomatoes now. Remember, we talked about this earlier on, and we did say that we have, if you notice, there's no set of gluts in the country again, but now tomatoes are now selling £6 and £8 for $10, $20, whatever have you. People should take advantage of that. Pumpkin has dropped to 90 cents a dollar, right? People should take advantage of these things, because now is the time to buy and freeze. But the point we are making is, when you have to spend money now to buy a firearm, to put security, to put new fencing, to put cameras, what is going to happen to the cost, the overhead cost of your goods? It's easy maths. It's going to have to go up again. It's going to go up. And the country must take an awareness. They must be aware of what is going to happen. And we are saying, when rain starts to fall again, how do we know the whole of Orange Grove will flood out again? What we have to do, our group, have to take our members in that area and say, look, brothers, or look, go and check. This is what we're doing, you know. Our group, our members, we say to our members in Orange Grove, go and check all the sluice gates, all, make sure they're working, because nobody else is doing it.
There's it's interesting you brought up this issue of irrigation and being able to water your crops in the dry season, and the flip side to that, flooding and all of that kind of thing. There's a gentleman that I know who he deals in lettuce, but he deals in lettuce that are in these PVC pipes, and it's elevated off the ground, and
hydroponics,
right, and he doesn't have that problem. He has no problem for water, because the little bit of water that he has, he's using it efficiently, and they're drying up with the sun because of using the pipes and everything else. Flood don't bother him at all because he's elevated. Is that something that we need to consider as we move forward? It might not be practical in some of the instances, but in those that are, is that the direction we need to move into?
Definitely. We have started moving in that direction already. We have partnered with a company who is actually doing this for our farmers. We have we're encouraging our members, right? If you have 2 acres, let us take one lot or two lots and put on an hydroponics farming situation. There are hydroponics that can do 400 plants at a time. And we are encouraging that now, right now. So even though a farmer is flooding out, his entire field is flooding out, he still can depend on what the hydroponics doing for him, right? Also, we have also partnered with another company, and they are doing a chemical called BioForge, right? And BioForge will help you get flooded out. BioForge, and we are teaching our members about it now. You keep BioForge close by, because if you are flooded out, and you can immediately try and spray BioForge, it sort of rejuvenates the plant for you. You don't lose the entire field. So these are the issues. This is the direction that we are going in. We have started the hydroponics already. We have actually, our youth officer, Adesh Mahadev, he's with us. He is actually being trained at this time in hydroponics. And he's actually teaching our youths in our group, the youth members in our group, how to do hydroponics. We're teaching it in schools. We are now also going to be teaching this in the Karani area in the schools around us as a pilot project, because we are putting a hydroponics of 400 plants in the area that we are trying to get a space right now, where we are to get this done, right where the farmers market is in Karani.
Let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Satish.
Good morning.
I'm calling from, and morning to your guests. I'm calling from Mandarin area. It is very hurtful to know that you have put out so much labor in farming, and when you go, you can't get nothing. Like, for instance, with me, I put down 3,000 and more, almost 4,000 pine. The pine cleaning, but I think your guests would know how hard it is to clean pine and maintain it. And I maintain it right up to bearing stage. When time to reap, if someone came or a group came and they take the pine, all I see is stem, the head of the pine. That break my moral and cause me to abandon that. Right now I just watching the pine field in bush. You need to clean it again. And it's hard to know that you doing all that. The same thing happened with the cassava. When I think was wild animal digging the cassava, it wasn't so. Everything has gone. Everything. You can't get nothing inside of here. You apply for firearm, you can't get it. So I don't know what to do. I don't know what next to do. The pine hurt me so much that I just abandoned that pine field. I'm just watching it go in abandon. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much for your call. Take another one. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Satish. Satish, the farmers spend so much money and go through so much hardship. Have they ever thought about getting guaranteed prices from the Ministry of Agriculture? That would go some way to helping them. Thank you.
Well, you see that guaranteed pricing thing? That's something that farmers It's a touchy topic with farmers. And one of the things farmers do, and I know this from speaking to a lot of them, is it's a gamble, a risk and reward kind of thing. And catching the market, as we say locally here, is where the real profits exist for some of them. Some of them, there's consistency, they have their contracts and they're tied into that thing. But by and large, I don't really know if many farmers want this sustained price for produce thing. We're coming close to the end of our interview. Let's take what might be our final call. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Satish Naparima. Listening to you all here, I got it from your conversation. You have two major problems. One, the farmers is to go to the market at Makoya early in the morning. And secondly, is prevail larceny. And that is very difficult to control because most people garden is away from their homes and so on. And just taking the last caller who said he lost the pine. The pine is not an easy thing to go on. And if people, it's not one pine, if it's stole out the man, feel a pine. That means those people know about picking pine. They probably people close to you, people probably who work with you, or they did some agriculture, and you, they know you inside out and your garden and so on. Because that will take a long time. And if your garden close to you, you have an opportunity to see them. Probably the garden must be far away. So what I want to suggest is this. A temporary measure. Is there any way, take a listing of all the farmers now, and import from the Caribbean country agricultural products, and then let the farmers buy it from when whoever the government or body brings it in, if you won't have corruption, and then you go to your various market and resell it temporarily. It might cost you less in the long run, I don't know, or even more. And that is to get away from these people, to get them food thief in. And also to avoid being robbed at the when you leave the on your way to Makoya market, and when you left and you're going back home. And you have to cut out Makoya market for a little while to avoid that. I don't know whatever avenue you could run that. Probably some the government people or private firm start buying directly from farmers and them. That could help. But right now, I think you should have some importation to teach these fellows who even people think a little lesson. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for your call. This is where we are going to have to drop the curtains on our interview here this morning. It was a pretty interesting discussion, and I'm sure that we'll have more as we move along. And our guest this morning was, of course, a gentleman who's been with us before, and that is Bindra Maharaj, president of the Sales of Farmers Support Group.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.